The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is? What do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, the countdown to New York is starting for you, my friend. You're getting closer and closer.
Oh, the count's been. The count's been going since I've bought the tickets. It's just been.
But you're getting closer. It's got to be exciting. Where Joel's going to be in New York for WrestleMania weekend, and getting very excited for him to get to experience that. But and we got to talk about some of the stuff on the road to WrestleMania. But we are going to start with the UFC. First of all, we're going to start with a story that happened last week with Connor, and Connor just kind of being a dick.
I thought that was already well known that Connor's a dick.
So more or less, it was a fan outside a hotel, wanted to get a picture with him. He took the phone and he stepped on it or threw it away or something like that. Went to jail, faced the fine. I again don't think anything will really come of this.
No, God no. What you've said is the start and finish of the story.
Yeah. So I thought we'd hit on that because that was a bigger story last week with Conor McGregor, and I don't really think there's going to be much more of that. Now it's just really about who Conor's going to face between Cowboy or the rematch with Khabib, and we'll see where that goes. But as far as the UFC goes, they struck themselves a big deal, Joel, as they made an agreement with ESPN Plus in the States. Now the only way to watch the UFC pay-per-views is to have ESPN Plus. So you have to sign up for ESPN Plus first of all, and then you still have to buy the pay-per-view. This is a really interesting model. Some people are wondering why the WWE didn't do this originally, if they are now going to regret not making this decision. But what do you think of this decision and this direction for the UFC?
It's an interesting one. Like, you're expecting people to pay twice. Once a month for the privilege of being able to pay for a product that has taken a hit. I mean, for anyone that's just subscribe to ESPN Plus, then it's like it's there, so maybe I can get the pay-per-view. I'm surprised WWE didn't do this model with Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the Rumble. But at this point in time, I think WWE did it the best way because it's user-friendly. This yeah. ESPN model isn't that user-friendly, and it's another reason why it's like, oh, well, I got to spend essentially anywhere from $70 to $80 for a UFC card. That's you're getting more into the hardcore fans for that. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see the ripple effect of all this, but I don't think this will impact WWE in any way, because if it does, I can't see, there's nothing we can do, it would happen, but I just can't see them wanting to rock the boat of what they've got, especially with heading into Fox, wanting to boost up the numbers, even though the numbers, the ratings haven't been the best, and the subscriber numbers haven't hit the points where they'd like it to. So it's, why would you do something to upset your fans and potentially lose more subscribers, especially with that Fox deal looming as of October this year?
Absolutely. I think the bigger question on it will be, what does it mean for pay-per-view? We've seen boxing kind of go a little bit more to DAZN now. HBO and Showtime have kind of backed off of boxing. So is this the slow demise now of pay-per-view?
I think with the rise of streaming services, pay-per-view has died. I mean, you go on Fight and you can get a bunch of different wrestling cards for Ring of Honor, for probably AEW, for a few other promotions out there. So it's, you have options, and it's becoming more and more where, why spend the $50, $60, $70 for pay-per-view when you can spend $10 to $15 a month and have access to this stuff?
Yeah, so just for people to know.
And
so...
I mean, even with Fight, when you pay the $30 for it, you get, you can go back and rewatch it. It becomes something that you can stream.
And that's what people are worried about with this, is the rewatchability with some of this. Some people are worried about that. People that have Fight Pass, too. I mean, up here in Canada, Fight Pass is fine. There's no problem with Canada or anywhere else that has Fight Pass. But if you have Fight Pass in the States, it becomes kind of irrelevant now.
Well, it becomes where you got to look at, you got to weigh your options. Because now, yeah. And there was a survey done in the States, one of the things that upset consumers the most is how many streaming services there are. It feels just like cable, because you've got to pick and choose and bundle, because everyone's trying to have a streaming service now, and content's getting stretched so thin that it's not, there's no one central hub for anything anymore. It's the hub is spread across the board with certain mainstays that you're going to want, and some of the smaller companies that will have some of the content that you want. It's becoming to the point where you're going to have to pick and choose. Do you want ESPN or you want Fight Pass? What benefits do you get from either or? And how often are you going to want to order? If you're just getting ESPN Plus to get access to UFC, is that the right move with your money? There's a lot of factors in all of this that's going to play a big role in the future of how this works and what the numbers look like for ESPN. I mean, they have Disney behind them, so yeah. They're not going to give up. This isn't going to suddenly disappear. This is the way it is, and it's going to be like this for quite a while. But just in a broad sense with the streaming services, it's going to be interesting to see how they march forward and how content is delivered in 5 years, even 3 years from now.
Yeah, and I think you brought the Disney stuff. Disney just had their sale with Fox, officially happened at midnight today, so that deal is done now. And as far as with Fight Pass, I wonder too, like, will they have the archive of the more recent fights after they've been on ESPN Plus? Or do those archives go to ESPN Plus? That one I haven't really found, to be clear. Also, just to let it be known, so new ESPN Plus subscribers will be able to subscribe to 1 year of the service plus a UFC pay-per-view for a combined price of $80. If not, it'll just be $5 a month and you'll pay the $60 per UFC pay-per-view.
Interesting.
So you'd be better just to do the year deal, realistically. You at least get a free pay-per-view out of it.
I don't know. Only get one pay-per-view, and do you get to pick which pay-per-view, or are you just slotted with the
next one? I think you
one?
Get the. I'm not sure. I think you get the pick.
That's a big factor, I mean, in that, because if you subscribe to it and you've got a big card, so say it's Conor versus Khabib 2, you get that for free, then that's great. Then you can have the ESPN, and then it doesn't matter. But if you're forced to take the next card and it's not the best card, then you're gonna be like, well, I got this. Thing for free that I don't really care about, unless you're a hardcore UFC fan and just want to consume all of its content. But you bring up the point of the rewatchability. Like, are you going to be able to rewatch this, or is this you pay for the pay-per-view and that's it, and then you've got to go find another way to have it where you're like, oh, I want to watch that fight again, or I want to do research on this fighter, and then you've got to go on YouTube, or you've got to go through Fight Pass to watch these fights again. It's going to be interesting how this model plays out long term.
Yeah, I'm really interested to go with it. And you and I have talked too, just as fans of UFC before, wanting to watch multiple pay-per-views. Now, they really have to have a big draw to want to watch that. So already, I mean, in Canada, it doesn't affect us. We're either going to watch it on pay-per-view or we're not, because pay-per-view for UFC still stays alive here. But I wonder how long until they get their hands into a TSN and then try to do something like that, which John Pollock from Post Wrestling has been kind of theorizing, is how long until ESPN Plus comes up here. We already know that Bob Iger's trying to get Hulu up in Canada. I wonder how long until they get ESPN Plus in Canada or international, and how they're going to work that with the UFC things, or if they'll use kind of Fight Pass as kind of as a backdoor to the international market. That'll be kind of the next thing that they'll probably be looking for as far as those UFC pay-per-views.
Well, and I mean, the other thing with that is you have a streaming service for TSN already. You pay $20 a month, I believe, up here in Canada. So now I don't know if they're going to want to cannibalize that streaming service and flip it over into ESPN Plus. I don't know if ESPN's going to carry as much weight up here as it does down in the States. Most people know TSN and Sportsnet. And the other factor in all this is, depending on what the price of ESPN is, you have Sportsnet, which has all the hockey games on it, or the bulk of the hockey games, except for the Jets, on Sportsnet. So then and that's $20 for just itself if you don't have a cable provider.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't have cable, yeah.
So you're suddenly now, again, it ties back into what I was saying earlier with the complexities of all these streaming services competing for your attention. If I have to pick, I'm going to pick the one that gives me Flames hockey. That's going to be my priority. I don't care about the name. I don't care what the brand means elsewhere. So it's going to be interesting to see if they even try to bring this up here. If they're like, well, this is pointless, because they have they technically have two streaming services here right now with TSN, and you can have like a single day pass for TSN for $5.
Mm-hmm.
So you could watch the Grey Cup, or you could watch a big, massive Jets game that's on there if you don't have TSN. Sportsnet doesn't have that. It's $20 a month. So you suddenly already have a market where you have two competing forces. And do you want, even if you have cable, do you want to add ESPN? I don't know if ESPN is going to come up here. And I think they'll probably stick with the Fight Pass model. But I mean, the other thing is, they could turn TSN into something more, but it just depends on if they want to do that.
Well, it's interesting too, like you said, you know, with what TSN has with the Daily Pass. We'll see it in the coming days here with March Madness and TSN's complexity too, and Sportsnet's. They're both very, I know ESPN kind of has a minor ownership of TSN, but it also gets complex because of TSN having deals with Turner for basketball, and then they have their separate hockey deals with the Jets, with the Habs, and how that all works. So that's a little bit complicated with how all that works. So it'll be interesting just to kind of see where UFC goes as far as the international market goes.
Yeah, because to make this worthwhile, you have to have the international market. And I mean, you have a brand that a product that represents an international audience. You've got to find ways to deliver that to everyone.
I should also note too, for ESPN Plus, as someone that does have a subscription when I'm down in the States, it doesn't air games, right? So you just get kind of the package of other stuff on it, right? It's kind of an add-on, from what I've seen of it, of your other ESPN subscription, right? So that's where you get the kind of the Kobe Bryant breaking down game tape, Peyton Manning has breaking down his game tape. You have all the 30 for 30s and Basketball Love Story, the documentaries. But I don't believe, from my experience with it, you get to be like watch an NBA on a Tuesday night, for example.
See, and that hurts it, because again, if that comes up here, if I got to pick, like you have basketball and Sportsnet, you have baseball and Sportsnet, and you have hockey and Sportsnet. Why would you not? If you're a true sports fan, you pick that over something that won't deliver those live games.
Yeah, if you have Sportsnet, you know you're getting Blue Jays, you know you're getting your Flames, Raptors, or Oilers, or whatever, and then you're getting Raptors games instead of, like, look, I love the 30 for 30s and everything like that, but who's to say those are going to be on the Disney Plus service in a little bit if they're going to go back and forth? Don't know that. I'm not going to get into that speculation right now, but it's a very interesting, we'll see what they do for the market and how they come up here with all that. We've already seen DAZN try to get into the NHL and were blocked immediately. And so DAZN just kind of does their thing with the NFL and with boxing, and that's working for them so far.
Yeah. The landscape of sports is carved up and divided. Like, I mean, Sportsnet has WWE. Like, they have that. So that's, for them, that's one of their bread and butters right now. So it's going to be interesting to see. As for the network, I don't foresee it changing. I think I think it'll stay status quo.
Price might go up, if anything, because that's been rumored forever.
Yeah, they've been talking about doing the tiered system, but I don't know if they have enough to do the tiered system right now. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do in
Jarrett lawsuit. That, I think we're kind of waiting for that to be done. And if Jarrett wins that lawsuit and has the full rights to those Impact tapings, then that changes a lot, because then they'll have the rights.
But does it, though?
Well, then you get Impact, you have Evolve, you have the stuff that Finn, all the stuff in Europe, you can use those tapes, so maybe that gives you a right to put it up. I don't know how much that really helps.
But is that going to drive subscribers? Is that going to bring in more numbers?
I don't know if it will. I doubt it will.
You got to think. So you're adding all those into the network. How many people are going to pay an extra $4 or $5 for those?
I don't think many people will. I think even with the network right now, I think there is this nostalgia of having those old shows on there.
Yeah.
And it's still nice to go back and watch those shows. Don't get me wrong, but I can't remember the last time I've gone back to watch an old show. I think now it's mainly, I get the weekly pay-per-views and Edge and Christian is on here, and I don't really know what other good original programming is on there right now. Really, that's about it for me right now. It's the network. Has that, like, you used to look forward to the Austin podcast, or even that terrible Rosenberg show was at least entertaining and kind of gave us, it was an interesting view. Now, if you have the network, the main things to look for are, when's Edge and Christian Season 3 coming? And, okay, well, at least it has NXT 205, and then it has a pay-per-view. But even if you have, in the States, if you have a Hulu account, you get NXT, and you get 205 Live. So, really, all you really need is to get the pay-per-view. So if you have a Hulu account, for example, and you have the network, you're like, well, I can skip this pay-per-view because at least with my Hulu, I get 205 and I get NXT.
Yeah. So it's again where you got to look at where your bread's buttered, and you got to make sure that you're taking care of that and making sure that that's well taken care of.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll see where this all goes. It's an interesting thing for us for the UFC. I did think that maybe they would go down to the WWE model, or maybe at least maybe 20 a month for the pay-per-views. If they did go, Joel, to a similar model of the network, would you have been more intrigued to try to find a way to subscribe to it?
I don't know, because I think the one thing that worked for UFC up here was on Spike. Was they would run the highlights, knockouts, submissions, just fights, and you'd get to see the highlights, the snippets of everything. So that's what would draw you in. I feel like, yeah, it's nice to have all those shows, but then you have to slog through 3-4 hours, and some fights aren't going to be as good as others, and there's going to only be a select bit that you're going to want to go back and see.
Well, I'm just saying that the pay-per-views were $10, like the network was. Would that make you want to subscribe to it more?
So, like, you only had to pay $10 a month for ESPN Plus,
yes.
And you got pay-per-views.
Yes.
That would be interesting. I don't know if I would be an avid subscriber to it, but it would be something that I would consider maybe 1 month if the fight's big enough. Again, one of the things that this boils down to, and it's a big factor, is the star power or lack of in UFC.
There were
fighters that you would easily pay $60 to watch. Now that crop of incredible fighters or characters or just moments, fights, feuds, everything that was encompassing it is gone. Essentially, you've got some glimmers of it, but it's not the same. So where, if you told me maybe 6-7 years ago you could have all this for $10 and you could stream the UFC pay-per-views, that would be great. Now fast forward, I don't know if I overly care.
Yeah, it's there's just such a lack of fighter, and as I was saying the last 2 years, really there's only been one pay-per-view that's really made me be like, I need to buy that. And it was a collective, we need to buy that. And that was the Conor Floyd boxing match. Because it was such a pop culture phenomenon that you really need to have that. And I don't think UFC has anything, even Khabib and Conor 2, that is the overwhelming pop culture phenomenon that can get everybody like, you need to buy this pay-per-view, or you need to go to a bar or whatever to see that fight.
Yeah. 6-7 years ago, everyone was lining the bars. The bars were packed. Now,
yeah.
There's still people that go to it, but it's not nearly the size it once was.
I guess GSP and Connor could do it. In Canada, at least. I don't know
everywhere else, but... Connor could draw. GSP could draw here.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, like, that fight would be probably the only one I think that could do it. And now that GSP is retired and it seems pretty legit... I don't know if they'll ever get back to that way, unless, and I don't even think if Ronda came back and did a rematch with Amanda Nunes, I don't know if that would draw very well either.
No, she lost the last two fights. So.
And I don't know what fight there really is for Brock to really be a super draw. I mean, I guess John Jones and Brock.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so moving on. It's a very interesting deal that the UFC did, and we'll have to keep an eye on it as far as it goes to international. And we'll see how it does for the States. Right now they have 2 million subscribers right now. So we'll see if people want to do the deal of adding an extra $5 to get ESPN Plus and then get the pay-per-view. We'll see how that works for an American audience. We'll be keeping a tab on that. As far as the world of the WWE, we're on the road to WrestleMania. It was a pretty steady drive this week. You know, no major turns, no major bumps, but, you know, pretty steady drive this week, Joel. Although there was one big pothole, and it was Kurt's opponent for WrestleMania that we all kind of knew, and we all wanted to kind of, we all clinched and were prepared for it, but Kurt will be taking on Baron Corbin in his retirement match.
I guess this is the punishment for going for to TNA all those years.
I guess.
My thing is, you heard the crowd, like the crowd was, Chicago was chanting, "We want Cena." So
yeah,
that tells you exactly where you stand with all this. But I mean, it's definitely time for Kurt to go. I mean, Kurt wrestled Gable, and every time Kurt moves, it's terrifying because you just feel like his upper body doesn't move the way it used to. There was a fluidity to Angle. I mean, it's going to be neat to see Kurt's last match. I don't think I've ever seen Kurt wrestle, so it's bittersweet because it's seeing Kurt wrestle, but it's not seeing the Kurt Angle that I remember. His wife doesn't sound too thrilled about it. There's not many people that sound thrilled, and I think there was even reports that Kurt was expecting a higher profile opponent, and they gave him Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I mean, so there's been a minor speculation that he'll tap Corbin out in like 2 minutes, and then maybe Cena will come out. But let's not get our hopes up. We know that Cena has something for Mania. That's been confirmed. We just don't know what it is, and we thought it was Joe. That's not going to happen, which we'll get to in a second, but. What do you think Cena could do? Do you think it's going to be interrupting Elias, or is he going to interrupt this? Where do you see Cena in all this?
I imagine it'll probably be Kurt afterwards. He'll get to stand in the middle of the ring. Everyone will give Kurt a well-deserved standing ovation for everything he's given over the last, God, 20 years, 23 years? How long?
98, 99?
Yeah, so 20 years. 20 yeah. years he's given, so it's he'll get a standing ovation. Cena will probably see him off.
Yeah. I mean, and the only thing I would say that maybe this Corbin thing isn't finished is they're doing this storyline of how there's an uproar on social media for this. So if anything, maybe this isn't the final verdict, but from all everything that we've heard from all the major insiders, this does sound like the final match, but they double down again on SmackDown when they show this match. Like, there's an uproar on social media about this match. So maybe that means something. I don't know. We'll kind of have to see. You mentioned the crowd, though, from Chicago. It wasn't just, like, a boo. It was a collected, like, horrifying sound of, like, my opponent is Baron Corbin. Like,
eh. Yeah.
Go back and listen to the sound. It was pretty hilarious.
Just tells you how everyone feels about Baron Corbin. And it's not like, oh, he's generating heat. He's the guy that no one likes. It's, no, we just don't like you. Please stay off our TV.
Yeah, it's the biggest sense of go-away hate maybe ever.
Yeah.
Next up, Ronda Rousey. You know, we criticized her the last few weeks, and I still don't like how she's doing it, but Ronda's is a heel, and she's getting the reaction she deserves. But really, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the involvement with Travis Brown on Raw?
Well, I don't think a lot of people know about Travis Brown, and that's probably for the best. But it just adds one more thing to this Ronda character that's just an absolute mean person. And it's just, you want to see her lose. It's the prototypical heel, and you just want to see Becky beat her. And I don't know if that's going to happen, But we're getting to that point where hopefully Becky can get a win. The only thing that I would change about Ronda is if she's talking about wrestling being fake and this being her being able to do whatever she wants. Really and truly, she should be doing what Naito did to the IC title and just throwing that woman's title, breaking it up, just smashing it, just being disrespectful to it and just making it seem like it's nothing to her. So that when Becky wins or when Charlotte wins, because that's very well a possibility as well, then it's like, oh, okay, well, we got the title off this female version of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and I mean, on her YouTube show, she did like, now that I'm a heel, I just want to give a shout out to all my favorite heels. I want to give a shout out to the Riot Squad. And then she finished with, and I want to give a shout out to Stephanie McMahon. So,
it's 2 steps forward, 5 steps back.
Yeah, it's this weird thing of like,
just don't watch her YouTube show. I think at this point that should be the mantra. Just don't watch it.
No, I think John Pollock said this. He's like, this is when we get to the year in rewards. This has the potential to win best feud of the year, but also worst feud of the year, because offline it's been fantastic as far as the Twitter wars go and YouTube shots and all that kind of stuff. But on air, it's like we did not know what to do after the Becky and Ronda stare down.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that this was a point of like, I'm not really sure where we're going with all this. Becky was obviously not in the plans, even though by Survivor Series you've been like, yeah, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
But this is just it's the tale of two feuds.
Even on SmackDown with Charlotte and Ron and Becky, like, fight. It's like, okay, this is really going nowhere. It'd almost be better if I were them now, I would just take the women off of TV now, and I would just do sit-down interviews and just build it up that way. They don't need to be on TV anymore. There's no need. We don't need to see anything physical. We don't need to see them any matches anymore. Just put them on TV and cut sit-down interviews. Either do a kind of a sit-down interview like we had at WrestleMania 17 with The Rock and Austin, or do the typical sit-down interview that we normally see with Brock.
Yeah, I think any way to prevent these brawls would be the best, unless you want to get some sneak attacks in and do some things like that. But other than that, I think it's time to let words do most of the talking and just get to the what arguably will be the main event for WrestleMania.
I do like the idea that they are making Ronda look like this unstoppable, like real legit badass. I do like what they've done with that, with the security guards and then Travis Brown getting involved. I thought that was a really strong segment by them, and it really elevated Ronda, at least on TV, as being this heel. So yeah, like you said, avoid watching the YouTube show, but I do feel that is helping with the heat to a degree. But I thought the job that they did with her not letting go of Dana Brooke, I thought they did a decent job of building up Dana Brooke in a short time and making Dana kind of this underdog that believes she could win. And really, we didn't give a crap about Dana Brooke, and we'll go back to that. But I thought that whole segment was laid out really well. And then you find out who did that segment, Joel.
Was it Pritchard?
It was Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's no surprise at all.
Yeah, Paul Heyman's took control of Ronda, apparently. So as you can see from the many Becky memes. So that made the most sense of why that was laid out and good. In fact, apparently Heyman's now in charge of this whole feud now.
I wonder, I'm interested to see if there's very much a tonal shift from TV.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if there is. So that's where we are. Like you said, I think this is the main event. As far as the other big one, Drew McIntyre just looking like a beast right now. And they confirmed the Roman match. I don't want to get into the whole making Roman out and if he's sick or not for that storyline. It's gross. I don't want to get into that. But I really think there's an opportunity and a possibility that Drew could beat Roman. I just think that in the sense of the word of that he could beat Roman and be the next guy to face Seth. It probably is not. Roman's probably going to win. But there is a storyline there for him to have taken out Dean, to have beat it up on Seth, and then Roman comes in. He loses. Roman loses. They can go by the whole he wasn't ready, he's not healthy enough bullshit. And then Drew's the next contender for the title against Seth.
There's everyone on Monday Night Raw is now kindling for the Roman Reign fire to be rebuilt. I mean, you felt the void of Roman, and Drew is being built up to be brought back down. So
I think he's probably going to lose, but I think there's a storyline to be told there.
I think it'll be a good match, and I think that it's nice to see Drew back at this level. But it's ultimately the Roman's first Mania back. Well, he didn't miss any Manias, but that's besides the point. This is his first Mania back. This is a company that swerves for the sake of swerving, so very well could have Drew win, but I think it makes most sense to have Roman win.
Oh, yeah. If I were a betting man, I'd bet on Roman, but there is a storyline to be said there. Like, I don't know who Seth's going to face if he wins the title. And right now, I'm not sure if he is going to, because I do have a weird sense that Brock is going to win, because not all these baby faces can win their matches.
Sometimes you got to have a feel-good mania. I want a feel-good mania.
I don't know. Because we have to think that Kofi's going to win, that Becky's going to win, that Seth's going to win, that Kurt's going to win, that Ray's going to win. There's all these baby faces
Ray will
lose, yes. Well, we'll get to that said. But there's all these baby faces, and the only one I can guarantee of them is none, because I wouldn't be shocked if Charlotte wins.
Oh, yeah, no. There is some unpredictability, but maybe it's not the best unpredictability, but there is unpredictability.
As everything else from Raw, don't really know what to say. No Way Jose has green hair, and he's actually on TV, so that's interesting. I guess the biggest thing from that out of that is, so we know Alexa Bliss is now the host of WrestleMania, but Elias is the official musical act now. Who is going to interrupt Elias?
This is the most obvious part of Mania. Like, there is no doubt in my mind who it is. Are you ready, Josh?
No doubt in my mind, but don't we have the same way to leave? Go ahead.
It is the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment.
I thought that too.
Wait. He's the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. He knows how to play a guitar. He knows how to shake his hips. It's the honky tonk man.
Yes! Yeah, it's that seems to be where it's going. Everyone, I kind of thought of The Rock at first, and I'm like, it's probably going to be Honky.
Yeah. Though Rocky does like showing up to New York for Mania. He did it at 20. He did it at, he wrestled 30. At the last time they were in MetLife. So, and it's been 3 or 4 Manias since he's last appeared, so.
It's been a while.
I mean, if I get a Rock and Austin concert with them beating up Elias. I don't care what happens in the rest of the card. I'll sit there and die a happy man.
You could even just have the Honky Tonk Man and then Jarrett come out, and then Rock comes out and just rock bottoms the hell out of everybody. And Austin gives them stunners or something. That'd be great.
It's the pipe dream, but it's the Honky Tonk Man.
And just remember, that's another segment on top of a reported 18 matches from Dave Meltzer. It's going to be a long night for Joel. Get those monsters ready. Get those coffees ready, Joel.
Well, I don't drink either of those, so.
You got one. Just drink a lot of Coca-Cola. Just find something with caffeine.
You know what? I find water keeps me awake. Like, water keeps me going. So I'm just going to chug that and try to find some bathroom breaks.
Joel, give me what I want! Give me what I want!
What do you really, really want?
So this Dave and Hunter thing has been, fine.
I get to see Dave. Everything's kind of lost on me because it's not like I'm going to have to sit and watch this.
You just get to see that you're in a different circumstance. I kind of came to this and now I'm just anticipating like the last Dave Bautista program, and it's been fine. I wanted just a little bit more. Would you give Dave one match?
No, God no.
I would have him job out Titus. He gets the Titus match. We've been joking about it for years. Just have him have this match versus Titus.
Nah, they're 2 weeks. See, this is one of the problems. Is I feel like these programs would benefit, and typically Mania has longer builds to it. This one feels like it's a particularly short build for a lot of this. I feel like they would have benefited from longer feuds heading into Mania. But for me, I get to see Dave Bautista wrestle. I get to see Dave Bautista wrestle. I get to see Randy Orton wrestle. I get to see Samoa Joe wrestle. I get to see AJ Styles wrestle. And I potentially get to see Kurt Angle. I get to see Kurt. And then I potentially get to see Cena. So...
You got to see a lot of those guys already at Survivor Series, too.
Well, Cena wasn't there at Survivor Series. But yeah, I have seen him live.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it for Raw. As far as Raw titles, I don't know if we'll see the Raw take titles.
They've been very quiet.
They've been quiet and possibly not the IC title because some people have to go in that Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So, are we guessing that the SNL guys are in the Battle Royal?
Yeah, I think that's where Strowman's going to be.
Right. Well, yeah, that's where Strowman is. So I'm guessing Michael Che and Colin Jost go in there at some point.
And then
Jost does.
And then they get thrown over the top rope.
Yeah, as far as SmackDown goes, so we'll have a four-way for the women's title for SmackDown to see who faces Asuka. It's going to be between Carmella, Naomi, Mandy, and Sonya. Joel, who's winning that?
I thought it was going to be a triple threat. It'll probably be Mandy again or Sonya.
Yeah, I mean... Doing Naomi out of nowhere versus Asuka makes no sense. We've seen Carmella and Asuka. I mean, personally, the best match there is Sonya. That's the best match you can get. But Sonya versus Asuka doesn't really ring WrestleMania, does it?
No.
So I guess it would be Mandy then. Is my best guess. And then
Asuka loses Naomi. Again.
And then I'm assuming... yeah, that's Mella and Naomi going the Women's Battle Royal.
Yep.
So there's that match. And as far as everything else from SmackDown, before we get to the Kofi thing, the two things. The KO show, did you get to see that at all?
I had to see bits of it.
I thought it was funny. People didn't really like face KO. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
And then Ray with his father, Dominic.
You mean Dominic Guerrero?
Whatever you want to. How big was he? I guess
he's Eddie's kid. He has to be.
I heard a story today from the Wrestling Observer. Meltzer was telling a story when the last time Dominic came to TV with Ray, that Malenko said like, "Oh, good to see that you brought your son with you today, Dominic." Because Ray didn't have his mask on either, and Ray still looks apparently relatively young with the mask off. So, yeah, Dominic looking huge, and he's been training out here in Calgary with Lance Storm.
I think there may be a WrestleMania bump in his future.
And he's sitting in the front row for this match. So, could Eddie's son finally get his revenge? And he's like, "You're not my real dad!"
Oh, man, if they did that, they're... Internet wrestling fans would love every second of it.
It so bad.
The casual fans would be so confused, but yeah, there would be a care. But it would pay off. 2005 to 2019, it took 14 years, but that storyline may finally pay off.
I'm actually really excited for that match. I know some people wanted maybe Ray to face Almost. I did. I wanted the hair first, but I really like this idea of Joe and Ray, and I don't think they're going to be adding. It kind of sucks for some, like for an Almost, for a KO, and for a Mustafa Ali, you kind of thought they'd be thrown into this U.S. title match, and now I guess they're just Andre Battle Royal.
Yeah, it's going to be weird for KO.
What a shift for him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be in a WWE title match, and now he's going to be in the Andre Battle Royal, and I don't think he's winning that. I think it's bronze match.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting shift there. And it's same with Mustafa Ali. Unless maybe KO and Ali become a tag team or something. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Kofi. At this point, it's just kind of... It's a build to a match. And that's kind of why I thought... I liked what they were doing with the gauntlet match and everything. I didn't like who was in the gauntlet match. Because I was like, you know, Randy has a big feud. And Joe has a big feud. Why are these guys not getting disqualified or having Ray or AJ come out? And then Rowan's the one that doesn't take the pin.
Got to build him up when he takes the title off Bryan. Finally. Big Red. And then legendary match in WrestleMania history against The Rock. Yeah. And he's gonna get the title soon.
There you go. It's just kind of prolonging this build, you know?
Yeah,
let's get to it.
This fell into their laps. They weren't sure what to do, and then they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what this feud is. Good for Kofi, because he'll have his moment, and he'll in all likelihood beat Daniel Bryan. You have to beat Bryan after everything that's happened. If he doesn't beat Bryan, then that's just poor storytelling.
Exactly. And then the Iconics beat Sasha and Bayley. So it looks like the Iconics are going to be in that women's tag match. And the best part about that is we get the Divas of Doom. They're back. And looks like no Trish and Lita.
Yeah, but you skipped over what could be the best part about that match.
What's that?
Naya and Tamina.
Yeah, Christian was too scared of them to come out and save Betty Phoenix.
I don't blame him. I would be too.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, Edge was like, come on, why did you go out and not save Betty? He's like, I'm not getting splashed by Tamina or getting beat up by Naya. I'm retired. I'm good. Speaking about retirements and the women's tag team titles, it's an end of an era, Joel.
Is it?
Just, we got to put the banner up. Brie Bella has announced her retirement. Oh, what a silence. I know Joel is the most sad of all the times that Joel wanted to play Brie mode on the podcast and we could play music. I know it's just absolutely devastating. I will say just, I think it's probably the right decision overall. She's had a longer career. She's going to probably make the Hall of Fame. And also, it's probably very hard with Birdie, and I think they want to have another kid, that to have two parents on the road full time, I don't know how you would really balance that out, to be honest.
No, I think this is the right call. Because I never have to hear that blasted song again. So
well, and she has so many other things that she's doing. They have their wine company, they have their fashion company in Birdie B, they have Total Divas. So it's not like she has nothing left to do. She has a lot to do, and then she has the best job of all, being a mom to their kid. So Brian gets to be on the road full time, and she gets to stay home and focus on all their other business ventures and be a mom. So
speaking of Mr. Danielson, mm-hmm. He's been back for a full year.
I know, nothing really crazy.
No. I think the first half of it sucked, and then when he turned heel, and that caught everyone's attention when he was going to face Brock on very short notice. And then he just became the eco terrorist, and now he stands by Vince McMahon and tells people that they're B+ players.
I think you needed to get over the fact that he was back. You know, because the story was like, oh, Brian's back. It's the Brian's back tour. Here's Team Hell No. And now we have to do the feud with The Miz. Once we kind of got past all of that, and now it's just Daniel Bryan, the wrestler, the heel, it works so much better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's on a tremendous run. It sucks that he has to lose the title at Mania. I'd love to see him win at Mania. But yeah.
He very well may. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, again, all these babyfaces cannot win. They will not win.
Gotta have some feel good moments, but gotta have crushing moments. But with Brian, he's been a breath of fresh air on SmackDown.
All right, before we get to kind of the news and notes of the week and get out of here, let's do the updated WrestleMania card. So we have Brock versus Seth for the Universal title, Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch for Charlotte Flair for the women's tag title. For the women's Raw title, the United States title, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. The Cruiserweight title, Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese. The no-hold-barred match between Triple H and Batista. Kurt's retirement match with Kurt and Baron Corbin. Shane versus The Miz. AJ versus Randy Orton. And the Andre Memorial Battle Royale. So far, things that we don't have confirmed yet. Bryan versus Kofi. The women's tag. Roman versus Drew. Bobby with the IC title, both SmackDown and Raw tag titles, and the Women's Battle Royal, and whatever involves John Cena. And then we have the Elias concert as well.
It's going to be a long one. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one. Get your popcorn ready, Joel.
Oh, I'm excited.
So that's all happened, but let's go to the premier brand of WWE, NXT, and a very sad, sad day. For, you know, a very special couple in the WWE is...
It's the couple of WWE.
The breakup, a 237-day relationship, Goldie and Ciampa broke up tonight.
And it's not because Ciampa wanted to break up. And I don't think Goldie wanted to break up either.
No, this was not
their doing. I recently went back and watched some bumps that Johnny and Ciampa have taken over the last year or so. I can see why he has some neck problems.
Yeah, it's kind of when you look back at some of those Foley bumps, right?
It's like, ew.
So it's heartbreaking because you kind of wanted to see Johnny get his moment like that. Although, like, it kind of does work in a way that Johnny gets to do the stage attack back on Ciampa, and then he does cost him the title in the long run, right? He injures him and costs him the title.
That was the single match. The single match outside of Kenny and Okada 4 that I wanted in New York when I went. And the fact that I was so close and I'm yet so far away sucks, because I wanted to see Ciampa wrap up his storyline. I wanted to see Johnny get his moment. Now we've got Ciampa's replacement, Josh.
Bebe.
And he better not win. Because here's the thing. Adam Cole winning should be a big deal. It shouldn't be something that's thrown together in 2-3 weeks. He should be a dastardly heel and finally get the title.
I'm going to tell you one thing. He's winning the first fall, 110%.
Oh, yeah, because they want to put Johnny in a corner again.
Yes.
I think the 2 out of 3 falls is built for Johnny. This will be the second time I see Johnny Gargano compete in a 2 out of 3 falls match. So.
Mm-hmm. Worked out pretty good for him last time.
Yeah. Cole should absolutely win in Toronto. That should be when he finally gets his crowning moment. It sounds like Johnny's no longer going to the main roster, so just keep him in NXT. This run for him is that token thank you for everything you've done. This run could even last for the rest of the year. If you don't have any room for him on the main roster, which you don't. You don't have room for a lot of guys on the main roster.
No.
This could be a nice little run for Johnny Gargano with that title. But ultimately, I think Cole is the next in line after Johnny. But I think that this sucks for Ciampa, because I feel like this was the pinnacle of his career, because I just don't have faith in Vince and the main roster and how they book things. But, and especially with a guy having major neck surgery and major knee surgery in the last 2-3 years, I feel like that will alter.
It's Evan Bourne. Yeah. That's what happened to Evan Bourne, right? Evan Bourne got that giant push. And I feel the same thing with Ricochet when he does the finish that he does. Because he wasn't doing the 305 in NXT all the time. And now he's done it every SmackDown, every Raw. And it reminds me kind of Jeff always doing that Swanton. It's like, it worries me.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those points where you're like, I don't know how much your body can hold on, keep going. But it sucks, but 2 out of 3 falls main event for NXT New York. I am all there for that. I'm perfectly okay, and I think I think NXT has the potential to be the show of the week. Just based on match quality, the length of the show, and just who's performing there. You still have Ricochet and Black performing there, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, out of all those call-ups, Ricochet was the only one left this week, and it was like Lacey Evans was like the only one from the other side that was really on TV this week. I guess Heavy Machinery was around there, but I cannot really think of anyone making a debut the night after WrestleMania now, can you?
Oh, there'll probably be someone. Pete Dunne, they'll probably
could be a name from the past, if anything.
Sammy's definitely going
to
be one of them.
Sammy will be one of them, yeah. All right, so let's get to the news and notes and get out of here, Joel. So WWE is moving their headquarters.
Yep, they're selling that famous glass building that we remember seeing Austin Trouse through. And
it has a T-Rex head in Vince's office.
Oh, that T-Rex head's still going to follow Vince. It'll probably be put over his bed, but yeah, it probably will follow him.
The new headquarters will be ready in 2021, so we will see what happens to that. One of the bigger news notes that I really want to talk about, though, was Cody Rhodes. He filed trademarks for some of the pay-per-views. The big ones are Bunkhouse Stampede, and the biggest name that was there was Bash at the Beach. Now, he said that these aren't necessarily going to be for AEW. He just kind of wants to, quote-unquote, bring home Dusty's cattle. But interesting, if they are able to get one like a Bash at the Beach, that does still hold a name for older wrestling fans.
I would laugh. I would laugh so hard if he got it. It would be great. It would be...
Halloween Havoc, I hope he gets too, because the Halloween Havoc was a great idea, and they've never used it.
You don't want to dip too much into the past, but having Bash in the Beach and what it means, especially with the Hogan turn happening at Bash in the Beach, is definitely something that you can build off of as a company like AEW. So go get them. Take some shots at Vince.
I mean, the biggest one for them to get would be Starrcade, but now, obviously, with them doing that house show, that's not going to happen. But if they were able to get Starrcade with having StarCast, that would have been a perfect mix for those two to have Starrcade. I wonder what else. Bunkhouse Stampede was always a great one, and I hope they get Bunkhouse Stampede. It's one that all the wrestling fans will remember. So good for Cody doing that. Also, on BTE this week, we've been wondering who Cody's opponents was going to be, and I think we have who Cody's opponent's going to be. It's that Pharaoh-hating motherfucker, MGF.
Well, when you cross Pharaoh, that's when you deserve to be beaten. I'm surprised they're doing this as quickly, but I figure they thought, well, we can't stretch this out for too long, so we'll have some payoff. And this could be a nice long feud, so...
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great spot for MJF too, right? We thought it was going to be him and Janela from the press conference, but I almost wonder now if this makes way for Janela to face Jimmy Havoc and just murder each other.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. One of the more interesting things that's happened in the world of professional wrestling was a promo.
Well, before we get to there, we should stay within the realm of BTE and talk about some new tag team champions.
Right, good call. So the Bucks, who haven't seen the wrestle for a while, are the AAA champions, which I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, God no.
So now, that adds to Double or Nothing for the tag titles then.
Yeah, it means that we've got some AEW. AEW might not have their titles yet, but I imagine some of those pieces of gold will be defended. And it just means that the Lucha Bros will probably win it back, which I don't think the Bucks have any problem with. And I think it'll be a good show. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think
and
so too. I
realized what's going to happen. Either two things are going to happen. Cody is either going to beat MGF. Well, regardless of the finish of the match, regardless of that, I think MGF is going to put Cody in a vulnerable position, and then we're going to hear some whoop-whoops and some two-sweets, and I think that'll be how they bring in Marty. Whether Marty signs with MGF because they abandoned him and wouldn't show up for his New Year's Eve party... Or he'll sign and he'll be a baby face. I think it'd be a mis. I think Marty is a baby face is a better call.
Yeah,
heel too. So both work. It's not like he has to be one or the other. But I imagine that may be how they introduce the villain again.
I like that idea. And Marty has a big match at the MSG show, so. Marty could be ROH champion during Mania Week. We'll see. But I guess we should talk about that ROH championship, Joel. You sent me this, so I'm going to let you kind of carry this. And you've really been following this competitor for a while as well. But probably one of, if not the greatest promos of this year, came from David Starr.
Well, for those who don't know, if you go and check out David Starr versus Jordan Devlin, you should absolutely check out that video package because you can see the promo from David Starr. But Ring of Honor had set up a match in Israel where it was Jay Lethal as Black Machizo taking on David Starr, who is Jewish, as he says in his promo. And he cuts a scathing promo that blurs the lines of reality, takes a political view on things and adds the wrestling factor to all of it and just cuts an incredible 2-minute promo on what this match means, what it means for them to have this little token handout match for him, and what Sinclair, which is the company that owns Ring of Honor, and as we have learned, is a little bit of a right-leaning extremist news propaganda spewing machine.
Fair comment.
And Starr took shots at all of them, and he was asked to remove it, which he did, but he said he is not admitting fault or admitting guilt. It is out of respect that he removes that promo. But if I was Ring of Honor, I would not look at this as a bad thing. I would look at this as like, holy crap, we've got the next guy to replace Marty Scurll. Whether David Starr wants to sign there is a totally different ballgame. But after that promo, any wrestling company worth their salt should be looking at this guy and going, I want him in my company. NXT should be looking at him. AEW should be looking at him. Any company out in Europe should be looking to bring him in. This is a promo that sent some really nice shockwaves through wrestling. And it was one of those things that's like, holy crap, this was a good two and a half minute promo.
Well, you and I are, and everyone in the globe is like looking at every independent show or whatever and seeing guys on there. And anytime you get to go on a show, you're making a mark. So much like David Starr, you and I watched that match that had Neville and Ospreay on it. And getting to see the guys in there like an El Fantasmo standing out on that show, right? I think whenever you're on a show like that that now has some of these guys finishing up or rounding about like Ospreay going on stuff or Neville going on stuff, you need to make a mark. And in this world now, with social media, you can definitely make that mark. Like I said, El Fantasmo just made a mark being really good on that show. He really stood out to you and I, for example, right? MGF was on that show. He obviously stood out to us. We've already liked him. And now David Starr and Jordan Devlin. Jordan Devlin's in NXT UK, but David Starr now doing this, able to be another guy that really stands out. And for places like New Japan that are desperate to find someone, they're at El Fantasmo. He's obviously not going to be what Kenny and the Bucks are, but he's a nice addition. David Starr is now another guy for Ring of Honor that's looking for someone that can be a big, big lead for them with the Elite gone. It's a possible nice add if they're able to get him or whoever adds him on now.
Yeah, this should absolutely create buzz for him.
It should. He had a tryout in WWE. He's had a run in TNA. His name hadn't really stuck. And that's okay because that's happened to plenty of people. Okada was in TNA. He didn't really stick. So you can jump around, but when you make your mark, you make your mark. And from that feud with Jordan Devlin with the great promo piece there, and now this great promo piece here, and we've seen how being a good promo on social media can elevate you as an entertainer and a wrestler. And we saw that with Becky, and now we're seeing it from David Starr.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's a match that I didn't really think about. And you and I still have to see that Jordan Devlin match.
Yeah, there's two. There's a couple matches from OTT that are now must-see.
Yeah, Joel and I are slowly going to try to get to this independent corner and kind of have a separate podcast for you. But obviously, time restraints and everything. And now with WrestleMania coming up and March Madness on my side, it's a little harder. But I guess since really quickly, because before that show gets old, what really stuck out to you on the independent show that we watched?
The crappy audio. That's one thing that stood out. But just the talent and the athleticism from these guys, it's really and truly where wrestling's headed. It's more about the athletics than about the you have to have showmanship. You have to be able to cut a promo. I mean, we just talked about David Starr's promo. We didn't talk a lick about his wrestling, but we talked about his promo. But I think more and more wrestling is heading to that where athleticism really matters.
Let's get some minor news and notes here. Go ahead.
Well, I already have the match of the week for WrestleMania week. Do you want to know what the match is?
What's that?
It's happening Saturday, April 6th. It will be in New Jersey. It will be for, I believe the company is GCW, and it is a Chuck Taylor versus Trent ? In a 1 minute time limit match.
Between that and Steiner. That's amazing. By the way, this David Cassidy, he looks so much like Chuck Taylor, right? Or Orange Cassidy? Orange Cassidy.
I think it's Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, he looks so much like Chuck Taylor. But that's going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be interesting.
What show is that on?
That is on the Saturday, and it's at 12 p.m., and it is the GCW Presents Orange Cassidy is Doing Something, or whatever, who knows.
Jeez. And then Steiner and Hornswoggle, that's on, where's that one?
I don't know where that one is, but that's in Jersey as well.
And then you have the RVD and Sabu tag match. Who's that against again? Oh, that's against Penta and Phoenix, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. And then Joey Ryan's penis party is looking like it's going to be a decent show.
And then, of course, for those that want to go, Wally Mania sounds like it's going to be pretty fun this year, too. Access, by the way, you were not lying, Joel. Access is far away.
Yeah.
Like, for those that are going to go to Access, I kind of feel bad because it's very far away. So it's very interesting what happens for you making decisions with everything. Like, if you want to go to the penis party, if you want to go to the Janela thing, if you want to go to the Orange Cassidy thing, on top of anything else, WrestleCon, Access just seems so far away. Like, I'd rather go to some of those events. I'm assuming Access is going to have stuff like Keith Lee matches and whatnot on it, but it's all going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, just an update on the David Starr thing. According to sources, Ring of Honor management weren't thrilled with Starr criticizing the company's politics, and it was implied Lethal would be pulled if the video wasn't taken down. We're told David obliged so IPWA wouldn't lose out on a lot of money. And IPWA is the Israeli promotion that they're running in.
Right. All right. Well, I guess, yeah, very interesting. We'll kind of follow that and see where that all goes. But it's very interesting as it continues to progress on.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. And then, yeah, just a few news and notes. So Renee Young was told to talk less in commentary. You just leave it at that. I'm not even going to read the whole story. I just think why the headline funny. Yeah, what else? So we talked about
AJ.
Oh, AJ Lee. AJ Lee. It was AJ Lee's birthday the other day. AJ Styles has signed a new contract with the WWE.
But that's you burying the lead story. He got a new puppy.
Yeah, so we don't have the details on when he got the dog, but I'm sure the kids are very happy.
Yeah, and hopefully this is a long-term dog. We don't want a short-term dog, though. It's a short-term dog. The dog can go off and wander and go and explore maybe a company out in Jacksonville potentially and have a dream match. But
I'm sure that dog would love to be there. Potentially with a cat of Kenny Omega's.
Yeah, the dog and the cat would be an epic moment to see the two of them together.
Ronda Rousey claims that Travis Brown has been banned from WWE.
If you could visibly see my shrug shoulders right now and the I don't overly care look.
Well, get ready, Joel, because if you didn't care about Brie Bella's retirement, Adam Rose has retired from pro wrestling.
Didn't he have a concussion issues, or is it just he just...
I think so.
Just never found his footing.
No. And it's funny because you look at the conga line now and they had the cheeseburger and everything. It's like, this is exactly Adam Rose's gimmick now.
They just found someone else to do it.
Flip Gordon has been cleared to wrestle and potentially could be on the G1 supercard.
Hey. There's a chance that we could get Colt Cabana versus Jay White for the IWGP heavyweight title.
I want it so bad.
If Colt... I wonder if they would give it to Colt just to drive someone in Chicago crazy.
Oh, I guess then that's the last thing we'll talk about. The weird Twitter stuff between Punk and the Bucks, that nothing's going to happen, but at the same time, we're all like, I'm monitoring this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be careful and see if anything happens.
The Canadian dollar sucks right now, but if Double or Nothing featured some straight edge fellow, I mean, you'd have to go to see that, wouldn't you?
You would. You definitely would. And then, like you said, the New Japan Cup. So we have our first semis for March 23rd. And it's a pretty good semifinal.
Is it? Is it, though?
I mean, Ishii and Okada, who wants to see that?
Stone Pitbull. He's beaten Okada once. He can do it again.
And then, like Joel said, so we have Tanahashi and Zack Sabre, and then we have Colt Cabana versus Sonata. Come on, Colt Tanahashi. I need it. I didn't know I wanted it, but I need it.
The push of Colt Cabana would be the it would be fitting if the final was Colt versus Okada. You talk about Kofi getting his due finally at Mania. Colt Cabana should get his due at MSG.
I would care more almost about Colt getting it than Kofi, to be honest.
That would be quite the sight to see if Colt Cabana came out to face Jay White.
In Madison Square Garden with the title on Vince. God damn it!
And then you can have Okada and Tanahashi afterwards. Everyone wins!
If we were doing this bracket March Madness style, which we should have done beforehand, would you have picked Colt to even beat McAfee?
I would have thought about it. I mean, him being in Japan and him being there, I would have been like, well, maybe they'll give him a win just to kind of prop him
up. Okay, so go ahead, sorry.
The bracket buster for me was Ibushi losing to Zack Sabre Jr. That would have been the bracket buster for me. Everything else would have been, I figure, would have lined up. Ishii, I would have wanted Ishii and Okada. I could have seen Ospreay going, but I would have leaned more towards Okada. Tana's going to probably go far, unless that hairspray and duct tape fail him. Cabana would have been the bracket buster for me.
So who do we think that Kota's going to face now? Because, I mean, Ospreay's out, which we kind of assumed because he's facing Jeff Cobb at the G1 Supercard.
Because he pinned Naito, so it could be Naito and and Okada.
There you go. Back to Colt really quick. So, you maybe would have picked about McAfee, and then Yano and Davey Boy, who would you have picked there?
I probably would have picked Yano. He's a crowd favorite in Japan.
And would you have picked Yano to beat Colt, or would you have picked Colt there?
I don't know. That would have been very tough.
So, and then it's like, if Suzuki would have won, I don't think Colt would have beat Suzuki. But Sonata, like, maybe.
Anything can happen in the land of professional wrestling.
They could be pushing Sonata, though.
Sonata versus Jay White. I don't think anyone has a clear-cut idea who's facing Jay White. Because the thing is, you got to think, could they potentially go with Okada versus Tanahashi and MSG?
I think that would be the smart way. And I think New Japan, you know, we've talked about what Jay White is and, you know, give Goto the credit for this is my plan and I'm going to go with it. But at the same time, this is a company that needs new stars to build off of, and maybe it's time to make Sonata that guy. Maybe it's time to make Ishii that guy.
You could have built up a few other guys.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I know, like, I don't know. I would love Colt to beat Sonata. I don't think Colt would beat Tanahashi, but I would love Colt Cabana versus Tanahashi. It's the dream match that I didn't know that I wanted.
It's that moment where you're like, oh, this is the Rock and Hogan stare down.
Yeah, 100%. This is going to be the highlight of, even if Colt doesn't win, if Colt makes the semis of the New Japan Cup, is that the highlight of Colt Cabana's wrestling career, or is it the Punk matches?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what the highlight.
Up until that, now it's the Punk matches. But if he gets this, it's huge for Cabana. And I thoroughly expect Cabana in AEW the next 2 years too. So
unless they have Punk,
They get Punk, yeah, right, because they're kind of suing each other. All right, well, you know, that was another crazy week in wrestling, and we are winding down on the road to WrestleMania. So. We'll see what happens with 2 weeks out next week. Maybe we'll have more matches confirmed. And thanks, everyone, for listening. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam Lay Marathon. Until next time, cheers.
Propaganda machine.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bang.